I feel like having church up in here. There's a word that I must preach in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. You'll find these words recorded in the word of the Lord. It says, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. I've entitled this sermon, Jesus is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. Here, Matthew writes to the Jews about Jesus being the promised Messiah. We see John the Baptist in prison because of his preaching the word of the Lord. He heard about this Jesus and the marvelous things he was doing, but he wanted to know, was Jesus the promised Messiah, or was he one of the many fake messiahs of the day? And Jesus told his disciples, go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. Go back and tell them all of the marvelous works you see and how the gospel is preached. You know, there may be somebody here today who has come looking for the real thing. You've been here before. This is not the first time you've been to church, not the first time you heard the Jesus story. But perhaps you came today to just see, is Jesus the real thing? And I want to tell you, yes, he is. And I'm trying my best to suggest that we should live like Jesus is the real thing. That's where I'm trying to go. We should live like Jesus is the real thing. Now, the first thing I want to put on your mind is there are fakes. Somebody say fakes. There are some fakes. John wanted to make sure that Jesus was the genuine one and not a fake one. Believers, there are those here today who could write a whole book about our encounter with fakeness. Is that right? Some of us are envious about what other people have because we don't understand what they have is fake. You looking at what you think is gold and it's actually golden. Put that stuff in some water and see how gold it is. You upset because you don't have a leather coat like somebody else has a leather coat. But if you get a little closer, you may discover it's what we used to call as children, not leather, but pleather. Talking about you don't have a fur coat like somebody else. You always wanted a mink coat. Well, that might be fur. But if you get close, you may discover it's not mink. Don't be mad if I'm talking about you. It gets softer as I go along. To just talking about fake stuff right now. And then some people have been exposed to fake get-rich-quick schemes. We've paid our introductory price and we've told our friends about the marvelous opportunity or service just for a few months to go by, and we discover it was a fake. People have lost their homes to predatory lenders and they've discovered too late that the deal was fake. In this weight loss crazed society of ours, people have spent all kinds of money trying to get the right pill to help us lose weight. And we discover that many of the pills are fake. We fill our basements up with all kinds of equipment to tell us, if you just give me 8 minutes a day, I'll take this tire that took you 20 years to put around your waist, I'll get rid of that for you in 8 minutes a day. And we got all kinds of equipment in our basement that says it is a fake. And then others have spent serious money, thousands of dollars, to go get fat sucked out of their body and get stuff nipped and tucked. And you thought that if you could look right, that you'd be so satisfied with your appearance and with your life, and here you are now, thousands of dollars down the road, and you don't have no fat on you, everything is cut tight, everything right where it's supposed to be, and you're still not happy. The satisfaction that weight loss promised was a fake. And who hasn't met a fake politician? Promised the world before the election, and then after the election, they can't return phone calls. They don't know you anymore. We could talk about fake relationships. Somebody ran into tall, dark, handsome, and you thought this was going to be Mr. Right. And you discovered that that beautiful car he's driving, he's actually renting. And he don't have rent money for next month. Somebody ought to help me here. Somebody has found out the hard way that that chocolate, curvy, graceful sister that you thought was going to be Miss Wifey had a whole lot more to the story than what you could see. She looks good after 2 hours of preparation, but if you walk up on her unaware, you may discover it is all a fake. Lord, help us if you please. And then some of us have discovered the hard way that the promises of stuff is a fake. We have worked ourselves to early graves and to bad health, thinking that if I can just get the right car, if I can get the right house, if I can have the right people in my life, if I can get affiliated with the right people, then I will be happy. And so here you are now with the beautiful car. There's nothing wrong with the car. Great car. Beautiful house. Everybody know you. You know everybody, but you're still not happy. Because God has made us in such a way that we will never be satisfied until we are in the right relationship and fellowship with him. There is a hole that will never be filled. There's a thirst that will never be quenched. There's a hunger that will never be satisfied until we are right with God. A Lexus won't fill it. Your suburban house won't fill it. Your doctorate degree won't fill it. Your friends won't fill it. We have been designed in such a way that until we are lined up with the will of our maker, there will always be something wrong, and there will always be a restlessness in our spirit. The promises of this world are all fake. And there is something about being in prison that makes you want to chip through the fake stuff and find the real thing. John was in prison. He did not know how long his days would be, and so he didn't have time to be playing with fake stuff. And somebody has torn enough days off of their calendar. Some have torn off enough weeks and months on that calendar that you are well aware you don't have time to be playing. There's too much pressure in our families. Marriages are on the rock. Children on their way to jail. Money is low and bills are up. Don't have time to be playing with a bunch of fake stuff. Am I in the right house today? But I got marvelous news for you. Jesus is the real thing. I know you could write a book about fake stuff, but I came and I've been excited all month long because I was waiting for this moment to tell you that Jesus is the real thing. John sent out his inquiring disciples and they came back with evidence that Jesus is real. And I say to you, my sisters and my brothers, that Jesus is still real. He has already paid the price for our many sins. He's already sent the Holy Spirit. And yes, it's true that the Lord can do miraculous things in our life. It's true. He can be a doctor in a sick room. It's true. He can be money to pay your bills. It's true. He can be a friend in a friendless land. All of that's true. He can do miraculous things. But let me tell you about some of the other stuff that Jesus can do. He can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. We know how to shout when God gets us out of trouble. What I want you to do is be spiritually sensitive enough to know that the Lord can give you peace in the midst of your trouble. Sometimes he doesn't get you out. Sometimes he gives you peace while you're in. Are y'all listening to me? He doesn't always give you happy circumstances, but he can give you joy in the midst of troubled circumstances. In divorce court, you can still have joy. With children locked up behind prison walls, you can still have joy. With dreams are not just deferred, but dreams have been destroyed. The Lord can still put joy bells ringing down in your heart. God can give you purpose for life. Do you not know that there are people who do not have a sustained purpose for life? There are some people who die from boredom. They die from purposelessness. They die because there is not enough to their life to make them get up in the morning and face another day. There are some people whose purpose is their career. And so when they are forced into retirement, they don't know what to do with their life because their whole purpose for being was to be a big wheel on their job. And when the job is gone, when they lose identity in their career path, they lose their mind. And then there are others who tie their purpose to their children. And so when the children get of age and decide they want to go and do their own thing, we feel abandoned because our sense of purpose is leaving the nest. Others tie their purpose to their spouse. So when the spouse dies early, you think life is not worth living because your purpose was tied to your spouse. But I'm here to tell you, when all of the things of this world have let you down, Jesus still gives life purpose. He'll help you get through your darkest night with the hope of joy coming in the morning. He'll give you life purpose that goes beyond what's going on in your investment portfolio, that goes beyond the value of your home, that goes beyond who knows your name. He gives life purpose. He's the real thing. He's the real thing because he gives us hope beyond what we can see. Sometimes we can't see what God is going to do, but we've just learned how to trust that he's up to something and he's working it out for the good of his people. Sometimes the Lord takes just a little of nothing and turn it into whatever we need. I shared this morning that God is not just a used-to-be creator, but he is still the creator. So whenever we look and cannot see anything, we don't have to get excited, because God is still able to create something out of absolutely nothing. So if you're looking and don't see anything, that's all God needs to make something. I wish I had a witness up in here. But not only do we have hope down here, but I got to tell you, as old fogey as it may sound, that we have a hope that goes beyond the grave. The reason why the believer can walk up to the casket with a smile on our face is because we honestly believe that there's life on the other side of death. Now, yes, I get excited when I hear about all of the golden streets, all of the pearly gates, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Big Mama and them, but I want to see Jesus. I said, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me, the one who let mean men nail him to a cross. I tell you, Jesus is a real thing. I'm going to close up here now. I've tried my best to tell you that there are some fakes, but then you ought to remember that Jesus is in the category all by himself. He is the real thing. But here is the preaching question. Will you accept the real thing? I mean, the case has been presented. Now it's up to the jury to pronounce their verdict. Will you accept him? I don't know what John did. The Bible says that Jesus sent the disciples back with the report. And we don't hear anything else from John the Baptist. We're tempted to speculate that since Jesus had such a high regard in verses 8 through 19, that maybe John accepted Jesus as the real thing. All we could do is speculate. But I pray to God that when you leave here today, you would be beyond speculation. You ought to make up your mind to accept this Jesus. Now, let me try to make it as plain as I can. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. In other words, as much as God loves you, and even though you have sin in your life, Jesus already hung, bled, and died, paid for your sin and mine. All you and I have to do is ask and trust God to save us, because Jesus already paid the price. Let me tell you, the only reason you will miss heaven is because you refuse to accept Jesus as the real thing in your life. Did you hear me? Nobody here will go to hell because of smoking, drinking, or chasing. Nobody here will go to hell because of fornication, adultery, or homosexuality. Nobody here will go to hell because of the immorality in your life. The only reason you will go to hell is because you will not accept Jesus as a real thing in your life. Did you hear me? Jesus can pay for all of the mess in your life. Jesus has already died and paid for your and my many sins. Did you hear me? The only reason why we will miss heaven is because we tell the doctor we don't want the medicine. We tell the doctor we don't want the surgery. We tell the doctor we don't want the treatment. Did you hear me? The only reason why you keep living in the problem is because you will not accept Christ as your solution. Please, please accept Jesus as a real thing in your life. It's getting late in the evening. Can you see the sun is going down? You better come on in while you still have time. Did you hear me? But Jesus is not only Savior, but you and I ought to accept Him as Lord in our life. You gotta accept Him as boss. You gotta accept Him as a master. You gotta accept Him as captain. You gotta accept Him as pilot. You gotta accept Him as the bus driver of your life. Did you hear me? And you can't take Him as Lord without coming through this water called the church. Now I know about the church. All of my days have been in the church. I wish I could defend her. I wish I could say the rumors are not true. But it's true. There are some low-down preachers. It's true. There are some lousy officers. It's true. There are some hypocrites on every pew. Did you hear me? I wish it wasn't true. I wish I could say it was a lie. But the truth is, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is, there is none righteous. No, not even one. Yes, my Lord, but I still got some good news. The good news is that even though the preacher might not be much count, and even though the officers leave much to be desired, and even though church folk cuss more than those at the bar, Jesus is still the real thing. You hear me what I'm saying? If you can ever keep the paradigm straight in your mind, you can make it through the church. Come with me now. When you go to the hospital, you don't go to see the patient. You go to see the doctor. Did you hear me? When you go to the hospital, you don't go to see who's in room 315 and room 516. You go to the hospital to see the doctor. Did you hear me? When you come to the church, you ought to be a member. The church is a hospital for the sin, sick soul. And yes, we got a lot of patients in the hospital. Got some sick folk in the pulpit. Got some sick folk on the deacon's throne. Yes, got a lot of sick folk singing in the choir, busting around the door. Yes, you're sitting next to some sick folk. But thanks be unto God, the doctor still shows up in the hospital. Yeah, and he got medicine in the hem of his garment to make a home. Yes, it's distracting to see so much sin in the church. But please look beyond us and see that Jesus is the real thing. He has everything you need. Yeah, I gotta need him. But can I tell you how Jesus gave us power in the church? Now, yes, he gives us delivering power. He can deliver us from whatever has us bound. If you're bound by alcoholism, he can deliver. If you're bound in a bad relationship, he can deliver. If you're bound on a dead-end job, he can deliver. If you're bound by sickness and disease, he can deliver. Thanks be unto God, he still has delivering power. But you've already heard about delivering power. I want to tell you, there's another kind of power that the Lord gives us in the church. I call it surviving power. It's power to survive whatever is going on in your life. I know you want to shout about deliverance, but it may not be time to be delivered. But if you keep coming around the Lord's house looking for Jesus, he can give you power to survive. Lord have mercy, he'll give you power to survive a bad relationship, power to survive a bad job. He may not take the taste of alcohol out of your mouth, but he can give you power to survive the triggers of your addiction. He'll give you power to survive the people, places, and things that make you want to go back and get back on the bottom. I wish I had some real people for about 2 or 3 minutes here. He'll give you power
crucifying, being mistreated on a terrible job. You give your power to survive a terrible relationship. I wish I had a witness, but the Lord still has power, and he showed up in the church. He showed up in spite of the no good preacher. He showed up in spite of the low down officers. He showed up in spite of the hypocrite members. If you come to the church looking for Jesus, Jesus can give you power, Holy Ghost power. He can give you power to learn how to pray and stop cussing so much. If you come to church looking for Jesus, he can give you power to laugh some foolish stuff out of your life. You know, you and I gotta remind ourselves that every fool don't deserve a front row seat in our mind. You gotta stop letting foolish people sit in the VIP section of your mind. They didn't buy no ticket. They haven't paid for admission. Call the usher and escort them out of your mind. Jesus can give you power to keep your mind stayed on him. I wish I had a witness. Can I testify? It's been in the church right next to the no good preacher, right next to the low down officers, right in the midst of hypocrite members, that I've heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your yoke may be heavy, but my yoke is easy. Lord have mercy. When I tell y'all what I did, I came to use just as I was. I was weary, I was weak, I was warm, but I found in him a sweet old resting place, and he has made me glad. Am I the only one that's happy about being in Jesus, and Jesus being in me? Lord, have mercy. I'm happy about being in Jesus, and Jesus in me. Lord, have mercy. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I have no regrets about being on the Lord's side. I'm glad I found out at a young age that Jesus is the real thing. He's been clapping in my hand. He's been joying in my heart. He's been good and shown up good every day, every night, every evening, every afternoon. The Lord has been watching over me all night, all day. Angels watching over me. Thank God brethren who know the preacher got a talent, they love me talent. They expect the preacher to talk about them. But somebody can take the sermon from here. Reach over and tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, I tried Jesus. He's true. He is the real thing. He is the real thing. Yes, he is. 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 Glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hey! Glory! 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 Jesus is the real thing. The church got his flaws, preacher got their flaws, but Jesus is the real thing. And if you come to church looking for Jesus, he can give you power to get through whatever's going on in your life. But you stand, the invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. It's good to know he's real.